It's evident that there are those here who have some things going on, a lot of sniffles and coughs, but I'm thankful that those things haven't kept you away this morning. I know we're in a time with things going on that we do need to be very careful about being out and maybe spreading germs or receiving those germs, but we can't let the fear of the things of this world paralyze us so that we just sit at home and do nothing. We need to be cautious. The scriptures teach us about the dangers of illnesses and how to contain those things. And you look back in the book of Leviticus, and sometimes chapters that we don't like to discuss very much with all of the discussion about bodily discharges and uncleanness and mold and mildew, but it was serious. And the Lord had certain laws concerning dealing with those things. And so I just say that to say, you know, we understand. And we know there are times when people can't be here, when there are times people shouldn't be here. But then to see those who are willing to make the extra effort, even maybe when they're not feeling the best or to be here, that is encouraging. But today, this morning, we're not talking about just being present. I want to talk a little bit about being on time, or as we've stated it here on the board, don't be late. When we think about our lives here in this world, we recognize that there are appointments that we have, some spoken, some unspoken, but we understand that there are certain places that we're supposed to be at certain times. And it's good to be punctual. It's good to be on time. It's not good to be late. From looking at the scriptures, we find that there was some way of keeping time, even from the very earliest of times. This morning in our Bible class, we spent a good deal of time looking at the generations discussed in Genesis chapter 5. And there, the times are given in years, but they somehow kept track of time there by years. When you come to the story of Jacob fleeing from his brother Esau, but when he arrives up there in Haran, he comes to a well, and it was understood that there was a time for people to gather at that well to water their flocks. And so regardless of how the time is kept, we know they didn't have digital clocks back then. They didn't have the other kind of clocks, whatever you would call those back then. But they had the sun. They had methods of keeping time. You remember when Isaiah was speaking to Hezekiah about his impending death. And when Hezekiah prayed to the Lord for an extended time, Isaiah said, you know, what sign would be given. And he gave an option for Hezekiah to choose from. Do you want the dial on the sun, the shadow on the dial to go forward or backward? And of course, there Hezekiah asked for it to go backward. It was a usual thing for the shadow to go forward on the dial, but not to go backward. But there we see just a keeping of time. What was the purpose? Well, it was because things are to be done at a certain time. When we're talking about being late, I want to start before we get into the meat of the lesson, talking about reasons for being late. Why are people late for certain things? Well, first of all, we need to understand there are certain things that are just beyond our control, things that we could not have imagined, things we could not have avoided. When you look in Luke chapter 10, you find there in around verses 35, 36 and following the story of the Good Samaritan. But the man who was on his way from Jerusalem down to Jericho, he was attacked by robbers. Now, I don't know why he was going to Jericho. Maybe he was just passing through on to somewhere else, but he was on his way somewhere, and he did not make it because of events beyond his control. Now, I don't know anybody here who's been attacked by robbers on their way to a particular destination. But there are times when things happen that we just could not prevent. And so we're going to be late at times. Or we're not going to get there at all because we just could not help it. But now, while we will concede to that point, that there are some things that are beyond our control, we can't just group everything into that category and say, I just couldn't help it. I think this would be probably the least often used reason for being late. Maybe not least often used reason, but the least the reason that, y'all know what I mean, I'm not even going to try to follow that up. But sometimes that does happen. But I think a lot of times it comes to these next two. Really, they could be put together. They're a lot the same, but I wanted to word them separately because I think they do have a couple of separate ideas. One is poor planning. The other is a lack of preparation. And those things go hand in hand, but they do speak to a little bit different problem. One, we are planning. You know, we are trying to make some effort. We know we're supposed to be somewhere. We're supposed to do something. And we do plan, but we just don't plan very well. We don't make the proper preparations in order to make sure that we're there on time. The other part of that, the idea of the lack of preparation, and that's just there's not really much planning at all that goes into it. But both of those situations look a lot the same. You know, we realize, oh, we're supposed to be there at this time, and it's now this time, and we're not. And so there's a lot of rushing around, there's a lot of fumbling, and it seems like the more in a hurry we get, the further behind we get. And it could be a result of either one of these, just the poor planning or the lack of preparation. And for some things, as we're going to talk about in a minute, it's not really that big a deal. But some things it is. And if you look back in Exodus chapter 12, there was a pretty big event that the children of Israel were to prepare for. They were getting ready to leave Egypt. This is a time that has been coming for 400 years. God had told Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15 that his descendants would be strangers in a land oppressed 400 years. And so the time of that 400 years is coming to an end. They're getting ready to leave Egypt. That's a pretty big occasion. And so Moses is telling them here in chapter 12 how to prepare for that. There's something they're going to need to do, some things they're going to need to do. There's the sacrifice, there's the blood that's to be put over the doorpost and on the lintel, and there's the preparation that they need to be ready to go. And if you look there in chapter 12 and verse 11, Moses tells them that they are to eat it, the Passover lamb, with a belt on your waist, with your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And what Moses is telling them in those instructions is, you be ready. You be prepared to go. They didn't know exactly what time it was going to be as far as looking at their watch and saying, all right, here's the time. We're going to meet and we're going to leave. But he just says, be ready. You have everything ready so that when it comes time, you're not looking for your shoes. You're not looking for your staff. You're not, well, where did I put that belt? They had it all together. They were ready to go. And they left. If you follow the story, they did just as the Lord commanded Moses, and in turn Moses commanded them. They were ready. They were prepared. But it took planning on their part. It took some thought and preparation. So if we want to not be late, then we need to prepare. We need to plan. Well, there are times when something more important comes up, and that makes us late. Now, the question we want to think about just for a moment here is that idea of more important. What is more important? Now, if we are preparing to go to a ball game and we get a phone call that someone is sick and in the hospital, someone, maybe even as Matt's family received the news last night, someone has died. Well, that takes precedent over a lot of things. There are a lot of things that we're now going to put aside because there's something more important has come up. But now, there are times when, you know, it's time to gather with the Lord's people on Sunday morning. We know what time that's supposed to be. Maybe it's Sunday evening we're supposed to be there, and we get a knock at the door. And it's a relative who's come to visit. Now, visiting with relatives is important. But is it more important than gathering with our brethren? Now, there are some who would say, well, I'm going to be late, or I'm not even going to be there because something more important has come up. But what really is the most important thing? I would never condemn someone for not doing what I'm about to discuss, because I understand at times of grief, when there has been loss, that people are affected differently. Some people have some physical problems that come along with receiving news like that. So this isn't to condemn someone who maybe has made a different choice. But I have known of several people right here whose loved one has died Sunday morning. And Sunday morning, when it was time to start services, they were here. They were gathered with their brethren. There was nothing they could do, you know, at that point for the one who has passed away. And so for them, what is most important? Well, obviously, the one who's passed away and dealing with all that is very important. But worshiping God is the most important for that one. And so we understand, yes, there are times when things more important come up, but we need to be careful what we say is most important. I'll give you one other illustration, maybe from the flip side of that. We were in Kenya, and we had driven out quite a ways. It wasn't Kenya, it was Uganda. One year we went to Uganda first and then on to Kenya. But we were in Uganda. We had driven 5 hours to get to the place where we were going to be having the studies that day. And we were supposed to start at a particular time. And one of the common things that's kind of joked about in Africa is African time. And African time is basically, there is no time. You just, when you get there, that's when you start. And a lot of times, that's not really that big of a deal. But on a day like the day I'm speaking of, where we had a pretty tight schedule and long drives, it was really important that we try to start when we're supposed to start. So we get there. We had gotten up at 4 o'clock that morning, left at 5, driven for 5 hours, got there at 10. We're supposed to start at 10, and nobody's there. And about 10:15, 10:20, there's a few people start trickling in, and I'm sitting there, and I'm getting mad. You know, we've got somewhere to be next, and these people here, they're coming, and they're late, and what's going on? Well, I was told later on that those people who were coming and kind of straggling in, they had been out working in the field that morning. And you thought, well, couldn't they put that off? Well, there where we were, if they didn't work that morning, they didn't eat that night. And that's something that we're not accustomed to. I certainly have never been accustomed to actually working today for today's food, but that's what they were doing. And so while I was so upset about them being a little bit late for our Bible study, something more important was being taken care of. And they were coming when they could. And so we need to be considerate. We need to be understanding. Now, that wasn't the Lord's Day. It was not a day that had been, you know, set aside by the brethren that this is when we're going to assemble. So it wasn't that they were forsaking that. This is a special opportunity, a study that we had set up. So I say that just to say we need to be understanding that sometimes what we might consider more important to the person who's actually in the situation, maybe there are some things that are going on that are very important, need to be taken care of. So we just need to determine, is it really more important? And then there are times when you're just frankly not concerned for being on time. There's just not a lot of attention given to certain things. I think about Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30, when the writer there talks about going by the field of the lazy man, and he sees things all overgrown and everything's just kind of falling down. And, well, how did that happen? Well, it's because he's lazy. Because he doesn't want to take the time to do anything. Well, that's the kind of person who, as a lot of people say be late for his own funeral. There's just apathy. There's no concern. There's no care. There's no reason he has to be on time. You might say, well, there are certain things. Does it really matter if you're on time? This past weekend, there was an auction up at the Ruitan. If you want to go to that auction, it started at 9:30, I think. I could be wrong on the time. I wasn't there. But if you're late for that, so what? But there are a lot of things that, and a lot of times and events that are going to matter. So let's talk about those for just a moment. We're talking about don't be late. Late for what? As I mentioned, somebody said he's going to be late for his own funeral. Well, that'd be bad. But what are we talking about this morning? Well, late for school. A lot of you young people go to school. Even those who do school at home, there's still a time that's expected for you to be working on things. So you'll be late for school. Late for work. A lot of folks here still get up and go to work every morning. And you be late for that. There are consequences that are going to be faced. Other secular commitments that we have. And while we're talking about school and work and these other secular commitments, you might say, well, school, there's consequences if you're late. Work, there's consequences if you're late. You know, some commitments, maybe there's not so much a consequence, but what about your word? You know, if you've told somebody, I'll be there at this time, don't we want to be trustworthy? Don't we want our word to mean something? We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But just because it's a secular commitment doesn't mean it's not important that we shouldn't try to be punctual. But now we get into some things that I think hopefully we would recognize are of more importance. Assemblies of the church. I wrote that phrase and I thought, is that redundant? Because the word church, ecclesia, it is an assembly. So the assembly of the assembly. But there are passages in Scripture that talk about the gathering of the saints. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, you have the idea of the church gathering. In 1 Corinthians 11, you have the same idea. When you come together as a church, so you have the idea of the gathering of the church. Same thing in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. He's writing to Christians, and he says, don't forsake the assemblings of yourselves together. And so when we're talking about the assemblies of the church, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, a gospel meeting, it's a time that the church has decided we're going to gather and assemble for the purpose of worshiping and studying and encouraging one another. We're not talking about a potluck. We're not talking about a game night. We're talking about gathering for spiritual purposes. Even those other things can be important and can help us in our knowing one another and the bond that we share. But here we're primarily talking about our gathered assemblies for spiritual worship. That's under consideration. What about helping a brother or sister in need? I really want to talk about that this morning. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17 tells us that if we see our brother and sister in need and we have this world's goods and we're not willing to help with that, that's not a good position to be in. Well, sometimes we have what's needed. We see the need and we wait too long and the need's no longer need because the person has fallen away. Or the person has gotten, you know, such in distress that we can't help them anymore. I really think here our focus is primarily spiritual. If I have the knowledge of the truth and I see a brother or sister in need, a brother or sister who may be struggling spiritually, and I recognize I have something that could help them, but I wait. Isaiah 55 talks about seeking the Lord while he may be found. There may come a time when that person's heart is hardened and we wait too late. Well, that's going to have consequences. What about teaching our neighbor? That's something that we might be late for. I know of people who have had good intentions, maybe have even had some conversation, but then the neighbor moves, the neighbor even passes away, and now, you know, it's too late. And so don't be late for that. When we look in Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus talks about the greatest commandment? He's asked there the question, and of course the answer we understand, we know, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, to love your neighbor as yourself. What greater love can we show to a neighbor than to teach them the gospel, to give them the information needed for the saving of their soul? But if we wait, if we're not timely, if we're not punctual with that, that can have a long-lasting consequence. And just serving the Lord. I'd like you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And I think here we understand Colossians 3, verse 23. It's a passage that we're pretty familiar with. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That really covers every facet of our life, both spiritual and secular. But he follows that up in verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And I really think that the point that he's getting to there, Paul, in talking about verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. In a sense, that everything we do in this life will be considered service to the Lord. As we serve in whatever capacity we're able to, the influence and the way we conduct ourselves, and that is going to reflect on our service to the Lord. But do we want to be late on it? We want to put things off. Things that we know need to be done, things that we've maybe committed ourselves to, but we keep putting it off and putting it off. But if we're doing it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, then we don't want to be late with that. So these are just some things that we might be late for if we're not planning properly, if we're not preparing properly, if we're not remaining true to our commitments. We might end up being late. We might end up being too late in many instances when it comes to these particular things. Why does it matter? We've already talked about this a little bit, but I'd like for us to consider just a few more things. When it comes to school, well, you're going to miss some instruction. When it comes to work, you're going to miss some tasks, some assignments. And with both of those situations, there usually will be some sort of penalty that also comes with it. So if you miss too much school, you're going to have to repeat the grade. If you miss too much work, you're going to have to find another job. So a lot of times there are real hard physical consequences. Well, what about other secular commitments? I mentioned about, you know, our commitment to our word. It may or may not matter. You know, if you were late to the auction this past Saturday, big deal. You might have missed an item that you're going to bid on. That's no big deal. But if you told somebody, I'll be there to help, I'll be there to work, then if I don't show up, what does that say about my trustworthiness? Somebody said, well, I forgot. You know, I sadly have to admit, I've said that a lot in my life. I just forgot. Well, that goes back to the planning and preparation. You know, are you just trusting? If you know you're forgetful, Lisa's going to look up there at me in a minute. If you know you're forgetful, write it down. You know, don't trust your memory if it's failed you in the past. So because simply saying I forgot doesn't make somebody say, oh, okay, now I'll trust you. Now I will really put my confidence in you as a person who is true to their word. So understand that even when it comes to these secular areas, our responsiveness to what we've said we're going to do will have an impact on people. Now when it comes to the assemblies of the church, I don't think we have to talk a lot about the consequences of this. You know, if you're not here, there are great consequences. If you're late, there are consequences. You miss out on some wonderful things. When the person gets up here to give the announcements, that's not just filler time. It's not like, well, we start it at 10:50, but we really don't want to get things started until about 11, so we'll get somebody to stand up there and just talk for about 10 minutes and fill that time, and then we'll really get started with our worship. No, in that time, there are announcements being made about brethren who are in need, about events that are going to take place, about where certain people are that aren't here. And just all kinds of things that sometimes we just tune it out. And sometimes we just miss out because we're not here. For even earlier than that, the Bible class, the teacher's here, they've got their material prepared, and they're ready to go. But maybe we're straggling in, we're getting here. Just flip that around. What if it were the teacher? What would our attitude about the teacher be? If he's running in late every time and, you know, sorry y'all had to wait on me. What if I did that? What if I were late? Would it be viewed the same as everybody else here? I know some would have the attitude of, well, that's what you get paid for. Well, no, that's not what I get paid for. So there shouldn't be a difference. There shouldn't be a different standard, whether we're talking about attendance in general or punctuality. We all need to strive to be there. Now, we want to, in a moment, talk about ways to kind of help us to overcome things that come up. But the very best thing that we can do is just understand the importance and the need to be on time, to be punctual. When it comes to helping a brother or sister in need, why does it matter? Well, the continued suffering, the continued anxiety, the continued path of sin that may lead them too far away. There's a lot that can go on while we're sitting back wringing our hands and wondering, is this the time? Should we speak now? And oftentimes we just wait and don't do anything. But while we're waiting, you know, they're struggling. And I've just, you know, if time for confession, there have been times I'm supposed to send the brethren we support in Africa their money each month. I try to be very punctual about that. But there have been times when I've forgotten on the first, or maybe if the first falls at a time when, you know, I can't send it right then. Yeah, I think, well, you know, a couple of days is not going to make that big a deal. Well, I think about my own situation. You know, Matt can tell you a couple of days means a lot. I've expressed that to him. It means more to those guys over there. You know, they're again day to day. Hand to mouth, that's the way they live. And so for me to be late on that, you know, the suffering and the anxiety that causes, I need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful of one another, but especially when it comes to the spiritual side of things. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, if you see a brother overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And I think Paul very well could have added there, and a spirit of timeliness. You know, strike while the iron's hot, we understand that saying. And so while there is the opportunity, let's make the most of that. When it comes to teaching my neighbor, it could just be a lost opportunity. They move, they've left, they've died. Something happens that just hardens them even further. Why does it matter if we serve the Lord or not? Why does it matter if we're late in doing that? Read with me from Luke chapter 13. Jesus is asked the question, and by the way, I have Luke chapter 13, verses 23 and 24 in the bulletin as like the scripture for the week. And I put that in there as a passage that hopefully will remind us of some things that will help us through the week to be more diligent, to be more committed in our service to God. The questions asked in verse 23. The one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them in verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Can you imagine hearing those words? You know, those who are standing outside who have known what they needed to do, they've been putting it off. Maybe they've been doing some things. They've just been putting off certain other things. And now the door's been shut. And so now you see them standing there knocking. Lord, I'm willing now. I'm ready now. And the Lord says, I do not know you, where you're from. So why does it matter if we serve the Lord in a timely manner? Well, It'd be a matter of a lost soul, our soul, and perhaps the souls of those dear to us. And so let's serve the Lord. Let's be ready to be timely. When we're talking about this morning, don't be late. What we're really talking about is time and opportunity. We have in this world limited amounts of time. We have limited opportunities. You know, those opportunities that come, they don't just keep coming and coming and coming. When that guy calls and tells you he's got a deal for an extended warranty, he might not ever call again. He probably will. But other opportunities that are really important, they're not going to keep coming along. And so we want to seize those moments. We want to make the most out of the time that we have here. So how can we make sure that we're not late? Well, plan for the unexpected. I think I've mentioned it several before. When I first started working a full-time job, my father gave me the advice to leave the house in enough time that if you have a flat tire, you can change that tire and still get to work on time. I haven't always done that, but I've tried to plan for that unexpected thing. If someone lives up here in the North End and they've got to drive down to Pensacola and they understand that train sometimes can be a problem, you might need to leave 30 minutes earlier so that if you get caught by the train, maybe it won't make you late. But plan for the unexpected. Just because it doesn't usually happen doesn't mean it's not going to happen today. And so plan for that. When it comes to secular activities and secular responsibilities, that's still good advice. But when it comes to spiritual things, don't let those unexpected things keep us from missing a wonderful opportunity to serve others, to serve the Lord. So plan for that. Prepare to be early. Again, these two are very similar. They relate to one another in a lot of ways, but the planning process. Now, I've given you a couple of examples, personal examples today where I failed. And if we've been here for almost 10 years, you all know that I haven't always been punctual with certain commitments and things that I've talked about doing. When it comes to the assemblies of the saints, when it comes to studies, we're here. But now other cases, maybe I haven't been as good about what we're talking about this morning as I should have been. I want to do better. And so I don't feel bad now about saying, okay, let me tell you some things that I have done, that Lisa and I have done, that have worked. When it comes to getting to the assemblies, I know we got kids. Y'all got kids? You know, kids can be a hindrance. You get ready to go out the door and somebody spits up. Somebody throws up. You know, things happen. But this is where this is really key. Plan to be early. When we lived in South Carolina, when we first got married, we drove an hour and 10 minutes to services every Wednesday and Sunday. And so we had it in our mind, all right, we need to leave at this time because services start at this time. And so we did that. But you know what happened for several weeks? We were late. Or we were just running in right at time to start. So we sat down and we talked and we said, all right, that time that we said we need to leave, we need to back that up about 30 minutes. And so we didn't think about it as we've got a 30-minute buffer. We think about it as we have got to leave at this time, and if we don't, we are late. And to this day, and the kids can tell you, when that time comes and we're supposed to leave to get here, hopefully 30 minutes early, you know, I'm telling you, we're late. It's not that, oh, we still got 30. No, we're late. So plan to be early. Now, when it comes to being somewhere and fulfilling an obligation, that is important. Because, again, it's about letting our yes be yes. We've committed to it. We're going to do it. It's important. We don't want to be a distraction coming in late. So we want to take care of those things. But when it comes to the spiritual service, when it comes to what we need to be doing for one another, those lost opportunities may never come again. And so understanding that will help us to seize those opportunities. Not to look at it and say, well, I know that's important. I know it's something I should do today, but I think I'll put that off to tomorrow. Do it today. Do it now while the opportunity is there. And the last thing that we'll talk about is we can look back and we can see maybe where we failed, maybe where we've done some things right, and we want to take that and try to apply it in other areas of our life to help. But if we recognize we've missed opportunities, we haven't planned, we haven't prepared, we haven't done what we should, well, we can't always go back and fix things that have happened in the past. But it's not too late for us. It's not too late right now to determine, I'm not going to put things off. I'm not going to be one who doesn't prepare. When you go back and look through the Old Testament, Paul tells us in several places, 1 Corinthians 10, Romans 15, he talks about the things that were written for our learning. But one of the things that you find with God's people is the preparation. When Jesus was crucified, when he was hung on the cross, there was some urgency about getting him down that evening because it was the preparation day. Because the next day was the Sabbath. And there were restrictions. There were requirements for them on the Sabbath day. And so you read a lot in the Old Testament about the preparation. You read about this preparation day. You know, they didn't just wait until the sun came up that Sabbath morning to decide, all right, what are we going to do? They made sure the day before that things were taken care of. The sacrifices that are mentioned throughout the Old Testament, those sacrifices had to fit a certain criteria. They had to be without spot, without blemish. They had to be perfect. Well, you didn't just go out one day and look at the flock and say, well, I don't see anything that quite matches that, but this will be the best one. No, you understood if there was that yearly sacrifice to be made, you prepared for that. You prepared for the animal. You kept things clean and you fed them and you really took care because you understood there's coming a time where this must be done. So there was a lot of preparation that went into that. We know when our assemblies are. You know, let's prepare for it. Let's make sure that we're here on time, ready to go. But more than that, there's coming a day when we're going to meet God in judgment. And we know that there's a sacrifice that's been made on our behalf to make sure that when we meet God in judgment, everything is taken care of. But now things have been placed in our hands. And now it's our time to do what we need to do with the opportunity and the time that we have. Right now, you have that opportunity. Right now, it's not too late. Right now, you're not going to have that door shut in your face. But if you put it off, you very well may. When it comes to heaven, when it comes to our eternal rest, don't be late. Because then it will be too late. If you're here this morning and you understand that there are things in your life that you need to get in order, that there are things that you haven't prepared for, especially concerning eternal life, then why not make the commitment this morning to do that? Whatever it is that you've been putting off, whatever it is that you've been just setting aside, go ahead and take care of that sin. Go ahead and take care of whatever it is that's keeping you from serving the Lord with your full potential. And if we can do anything here this morning to help you with any decision you have to follow the Lord, then would you come and let us know how we might help you while together we stand and sing.